Yo, what's up? It's your boy E.T., pastor of A Place of Change Ministries. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. You know, so many people have said to me, E, we love the normal service, but the podcast, we can wash dishes, wash clothes, work out to it, drive up and down the road, our commute to work. And so, guys, thank you so much. Look, you know, we have one goal here, and that is to meet your spiritual needs. And so we hope that this message helps you in your everyday walk, helps you in your transformation. And most importantly, we hope that it helps you to make the rest of your life the best of your life. Let's get into the word. Hallelujah. I got something for y'all today. Amen. So I've been on this, and I'm on covenant. Say it with me. Good. One more time. Because what I'm starting to realize is that covenant is the only soil that can put you in a position to get everything you want. Now, you cannot have healthy relationships. You cannot be super wealthy. You cannot be emotionally and mentally on cloud nine outside of covenant. Now, you might hit one of these boys for a minute, but okay, so I don't like to say names, because I never really mean any individual, but I just want you to look at the world. There are people who have blown up without covenant who eventually they come down. I'm going to say it that way. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you can't have a little success for a short period of time without God. But if you're going to die successful, you can't do it without covenant. And if you want to be successful in multiple areas at one time, when I read the Bible, it's covenant. Amen. So I'm studying. My wife been on my head. What up? I pray for some of you. So I'm going to start teaching you what God is doing for me instead of just, you know, giving you the word so you could just, like, because it don't match. So I'm going to give you what God is actually doing in my life as a teaching so I can help you. I pray that you guys would get to a point that you find somebody in your life that's going to tell you the truth about yourself. I just pray that you would get friends who are going to be real with you. I pray, because that's why I'm where I am. I'm not in an environment where somebody's stroking my ego. I'm not in an environment where somebody's just cheering for me. I'm in an environment where somebody is saying, okay, that's cool, but what's next? That's the environment I'm in. So this was the environment where I was really stripped and really just told that your whole sermon, your whole preparation, garbage, trash. You gotta come correct. I'm like, hold up, now I got receipts on videos. I got receipts on numbers. I can show you. And it's like, nope, they don't know you. I know you know you. And what you're producing is what you would produce without taking it to the highest level you could take it to. So I love her though, because we've been studying it every day. I love it. Pastor, I love it. So we got a book or books that we read throughout the week. And then she is like, this is what you're going to preach. I love it. I love it, Pastor. So now I just want to show you all the environment I'm in so that you don't think that you can become what I am by screaming. I'm talking to those of you online who watch me preach, and you just think you're going to talk louder and you're going to have energy, and that's what's going to do it. It's not going to do it. I promise you it's not. So I want to show you. So now, after I've done that, I must have accomplished the goal. Because now she said, we need to do it twice a day now. Now we need to read in the morning and at night. I'm like, okay. All right, Jet, when I got it. Jamie, just when I got it, Jamie, and I thought we was about to have a celebration. I just got it. I thought we was going to be like, you got it. We're going to take you out to eat. Congratulations. It's working. It's like, okay, good. Now that you can lift 100, we're doing two a day. And I'm dropping 10s on that joke. I'm just saying, Pastor, I could lift it now. And she's like, good, I'm glad you can lift it. Let's put some more weight on it. So if you're in an environment and ain't nobody putting no more weight on it, and people know you capable of lifting 225, but they smiling while you lifting 100, you in the wrong friend group. You getting set up for failure. That's not where you want to be. You want to be where the person knows your capabilities, your capacity, and they stretching you. Okay, all right, I'm by myself. All right, so I'm stretching you on covenant. I want you to come out of inconsistency. I want you to come out of consistency. I want you to come out of commitment. As a matter of fact, I would prefer you be inconsistent than committed, because committed is dangerous, because it looks so much like covenant. It looks so much like it. See, hit me like, E, bro, you said this and that. Like, I ain't trying to dog you out, but you said, like, you kind of using those words together. Like, I know what you mean, but a lot of people may not know what you mean. You keep going back to commitment when you mean covenant, and then you say it. I said, okay, no problem. I got it. I got on both sides. I'm getting it. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to come back. All right, God, pray, help me out. So I did my homework, and God is saying in this season, you need to preach covenant, because every desire, every human, God shows me has a desire, but not every human has covenant. Every human got a dream and a goal. They want to blow up. They want their family like this. They want this, but they not covenant. And so God said, you got to teach covenant, son. So I did my homework, Pastor. Hey, man, I did my homework. And the King James Version of the Bible, the word covenant appears 292 times. 286 times in the Old Testament, right? 6 times in the New Testament. So what is that saying? That's saying that it's so important that God wanted to give it to you on the front end. Don't miss this. Because he could have did 200 and some time in the New Testament after you already got familiar with the word. But he said, as soon as you open up the Bible, I want to introduce you to commitment, because there's no way you can go into the new thing without understanding how important covenant is. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. All right, so they can hear me online. Okay, all right. I just gave you the formula. You should be excited about that. I just gave you the formula. God is saying this thing is so important that I mentioned it 296 times, and in the New Testament, the 292 times, and in the Old Testament, 286 times. I come out the gate with it. So I just want you, before we go into word, I just want you to know that if God's coming out the gate with something, it must be important. And we must focus on it. And we must figure out what it is, and then we must apply it. I'm talking about all over you. My grandma been dead. Grandma Shirley been dead probably, I don't know, 90s probably. When I get a certain congestion, I'm still using Vicks Vapor Rub. That she just made me believe that will clear you up. Right? And I went to the store. It's 2023. So when I went to the store, they got it in this like a rub form. Like you could just, like a deodorant almost, get it and boom. And I was like, yo, that look dope. And they was like, it's messy free. And I was like, I don't know. Grandma didn't use it. Like she ain't had a rub boy like that. She had the, and just, and in your nose, you know what I'm saying? I was like, that might be dope. I don't know. I'm going to apply it like my grandma applied it. I don't know what it is about Vicks Vapor Rub, but as soon as I put that joke on, I feel like I'm free. I don't know if it worked. I told myself that. I was like, I don't even know if this worked or not. Like, I have no real evidence that Vicks Vapor Rub works, but I promise you, when my grandma used to put it on us and put it on our nose and then pull the covers over and then put the, I'm talking about this old school, the heat blanket on them jokers. She put that heat joker boy on, and it was like, in the next day, you like, I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus Christ, get the covenant cream and put that joke all over you. Every day when you wake up, you need to be covered with covenant. Because if you cover it with covenant, everything, your bank account going to look different, your relationship, everything going to be different. Mentally and emotionally, you're going to be different. Hey, man, praise God. All right, let's go. I want to show y'all this thing. This is deep. This is what God brought to me. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. Covenant. They seized my man, led him away, bringing him to the high priest's house, and Peter followed at a distance. Covenant, commitment, consistency, inconsistency. You decide. It's a test. Oh, come on. I just want y'all to know who this is. This is Peter. This is Mr. Covenant. Out his mouth. It's Mr. Covenant. Huh? The other 11, I don't know how they felt, but they ain't say nothing. He said something. He said out his mouth, I'm Mr. Covenant. But the Bible says when they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, Peter followed, but he followed at commitment. He followed at commitment. Yeah, he followed, but he wasn't like, I'm with him.
He followed because he did love him. He did. He did care for him. He was the one to pull out the knife when he was with him. Don't miss that. When he was with him, he pulled out the knife. When he wasn't with him, he had to prove he was with him. He was at a distance. And when they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man is also with him." Come on up out the distance. It's test time now. Hey, man, praise God, y'all. Don't, like, stop being afraid of tests. Many of us are afraid of tests. Don't do that. Stop doing that. Take the test. Stop doing that. Didi asked me a question, Marcus. She said, "Have you been reading?" I said, "What does that have to do with my preaching?" No, I asked you a question. "Have you been reading?" I'm like, come on. Like, what are we talking about here? Is there a part of my sermon you didn't like? No. Just answer the question. Have you been reading? Nah. I hadn't read in a while. Yeah, I could tell. Because when you preach, I know exactly where you're going. It sounds like something you said before. There's no new insight. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody. Amen. She don't be afraid of the test. She called him out of the shadow. You look familiar. You look like you was with him. It's a test now. It's no more lift service. It's no more I'm Mr. Covenant. It's showtime now. It's time to take the test now. And the test is not meant to embarrass you. And that's what a lot of us, because we hate being told what to do, or because we have an independent spirit, we hate when somebody questions us. We hate it. It bothers us. Why are you questioning me? Why are you asking me that? Why are you if somebody has the gall to ask you that, they're that close to you, is they're trying to get you to see reality. And depending on what side of reality you fall on, you're going to be blessed. You're on the wrong side of reality, you need to make some adjustments. It wasn't a, "You can't preach, you suck, you ain't nobody." It was a call to your level of excellence. And so now you said out your mouth a few weeks ago, a few months ago, I don't know how long ago it was, Peter opened up his mouth and declared, "I'm Mr. Covenant." That now Mr. Covenant has to be tested. You look like you was with him. The Bible says, looking closely at him. "This man was also with him, but he denied. Woman, I don't know him." "Well, what's up, Mr. Covenant? What's going on, Mr. Covenant?" But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." And a little later, someone else, "Oh, Lord, nah, God said, I just gave you the test. You didn't want to take the test. I'm going to go ahead and give it to you one more time." We're running from the test. Stop running from the test. Stop running from the test. Stop running. Stop avoiding the test. The test is not the test. Your character is the test. The test is only revealing who you are. Stop running from who you are. Stop trying to pretend like you're not that person. Just be honest. "I'm him. I just don't want to be killed like him." "I'm him, but I was with him when he was knocking folk down. Now they got him, and it looked like they about to kill him. I ain't with him now. I was only with him when he was powerful. I was only with him when he walked on water. I was only with him when he had the authority to cast out demons. It looked like he don't got no authority now. I'm good. I don't know him." But he denied, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you one of them." Amen. Amen. Same test, questions answered a little differently. First is, "Are you with him?" No. Now it's like, "Aren't you one of them?" No. If you don't know him, weren't you with the 12? Total different. God is so good. He starts you off like on the gusto, boy. "Do you know him?" "I don't know him." "Okay, cool. That was too much. Okay, was you with them?" Peter said, "Man, I'm not." "You not? Oh, okay. All right. All right. Watch this. Watch this. Can we go back? I'm sorry. I just want to finish that part off. You are also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. You're not what? You weren't running with them for the last 3 years. Now you acting like you don't know who they are. But you were the one that said you was Mr. Covenant. Come on, let's go. Well, I just want to show y'all this. And after an interval for about an hour, still another test. Another test. God like, all right, bet. You lied on the first one. You lied on the second one. I'm just trying to get you to pass this thing. So we're going to do it one more time. Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked Peter in his face. Gave you three shots, bro. Mr. Covenant, I gave you three shots. You lied and said you didn't know who I was. So now I want you to see me and tell me you don't know who I am. Now you got to look at me and tell me you don't know who I am. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three, not once, you will deny me three times. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Why did he weep bitterly? Because in his heart, he wanted to be Mr. Covenant. And when he said it, he meant it. He just didn't know he didn't have a character yet for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. God is so good. God was like, when you said it, I know you meant it, but you didn't. Your character cannot sustain because you've not dealt with the hope. You've not dealt with the real Peter. You've not dealt with some of those issues. You've not dealt with what they said to you in your childhood. You have not dealt when they touched you in your childhood. You have not dealt with some of the disappointment. You've not dealt with being second best. You thought you was first, but he made somebody else first. You have not dealt with that. You've escaped past it and act like it didn't happen. But you got to see me, God says. You can't keep coming to church and not see me. You can't keep reading your Bible and not see me. You can't keep listening to gospel music and not see me, Peter. You lied three times. Now you got to see me. Yeah, many of us coming to church, we don't want covenant because we don't want to deal with that. We don't want to deal with that. Lord, I love you, but not if I got to do that. Not if I got to remember that. Not if I got to go back to that. No, I'm just going to act like I'm strong and tough. But then it's going to come out in how you deal with people because you're strong and you're tough. It's going to come out now. It's going to come out in your language. It's going to come out in your behavior. And then because you got stuck in survival mode and you did not get to covenant, then you stuck in survival mode. Now you upset with why people in covenant don't want to fool with you. You survival mode trying to deal with people. You speak French and they speak English. There's nothing to talk about. Y'all don't understand each other. Come on. All right. Watch this, though. Let's go back. Matthew 26, 24. Watch this. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared. I love it. Peter said, watch this, y'all. Cocky. Cocky, instead of just saying, Jesus, okay, I'm going to deny you. Okay, Jesus, you're right. Okay, Jesus, you know me. Okay, Jesus, what do I have to do not to deny you? For real, church folk always trying to deflect stuff and not really deal with real. It's exhausting because we put forth all this effort to be something we're not and we don't get nothing for it. It's exhausting. It's not exhausting. I'm an educator, y'all. It's 180 days. It's not exhausting working with a student who can't really get it on the first try, but they doing all their homework. They doing Jada. I told you I was embarrassing, bro. I'm an educator. I was embarrassed when I took Jada to this, I forgot the name of the program, but it was to get her SAT, and I wanted to boost her SAT score, and Jada spent all summer with my man, and my man came and told me, like, man, I got some bad news for you. I was like, bad news? You ain't got no bad news. I ain't paid you like $3,000. You don't got no bad news. It's not possible, bro. I want my money back. He's like, I hate to tell you this, but your daughter has a deficiency in math and science, and the best she will ever do on a standardized test because of those two areas is 17. I was like, 17, she gonna need a 20-something. It's not possible. And so, praise God, they looked at her grades, and I was like, how is it that she always got A's when she has a deficiency? First of all, Jada said, we was in Chicago, and I preached that, and Jada got up after I did, and she spoke, and she said, first of all, forgive my father. They said I had a deficiency. I never accepted that. She said, what I had was, it took you once to do it. It took me 3 times to get it. Oh, that kind of student right there. And people used to always think that Jada was smarter than her brother. Jalen naturally is smart. He just don't got the engine Jada got. He was naturally gifted. Jalen can wait till the last minute to study and still do well. He didn't need no tutor. Jalen used to be like, a tutor? You think something wrong? I'm good on tutoring. I don't need no tutor. I'm like, bro, but your grades, you got to see my, somebody needs something. You got a D in English, and that's all you speak. You don't speak another language. We stuck. I'm not understanding. You need help. He's like, I don't need no help. I was like, well, why do you have a D? Because he didn't care about school. He didn't have the engine that she had. Jada had a covenant with everything she touched. She had a covenant. Jada said, these grades reflect who I am. These grades reflect my father. They know who my father is. I can't be in these streets getting D's and F's. Jalen didn't have a covenant. Jalen enjoyed the benefits of being a Thomas. He didn't have a work ethic of it. No, I'm not lying. My son is gifted. I talked to him. His dad's like, bro, don't come in here with that foolishness. You gifted and talented. Whatever you run into, whenever you ready to turn it on, just turn it on, and the world ain't going to be ready for you. But don't come to me with that. You talented. I don't want to hear that. Your sister called me tripping. Okay, not you, son. You gifted. You talented. Whatever you touch, it comes naturally easy to you. Watch the cockiness instead of just being humble. Humble yourself before the Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves. You think humble means coming up here and praying. Humble means give me that thing that you don't want to deal with no more. Give me that thing you buried. Humble yourself. We both know you put it in the grave. Take me to where you buried it. And let's deal with it. It stinks. Instead of Peter humbling himself, this is how you always know when you cocky. He said, even if I have to die with you. Die with? You was at a distance. You had an opportunity to die with them, and you didn't take it. Die with? What? God said, be careful the stuff come out your mouth. What? What? You would. I just gave you a chance. I just gave you an opportunity to fix it. You talking about God hadn't blessed you. You on your sixth man. You on your seventh job. He blessed you with 6 jobs before that, and you lost them all. You this ain't the first man you've ever been with. This ain't the first relationship. You don't want to deal with what's really the problem. And if we would deal with the problem, Peter, we can hurry up and blow you up. But you don't want to deal with it. So now you're going to sit here and tell me, even if I got to die with you? Have you lost your mind? Die with me. You're not even going to act like you know me in a few minutes. What? Then he get real cocky. I will never disown you. Now all the other disciples. Bible said they said the same. Let's go, quick, let's go. Let's go. All right, I got to get y'all out of here. So the first one, sacred commitment. Spiritual covenants are often viewed as profoundly sacred and binding commitments. I want you to catch this. Because he was like, you didn't do commitment. So I'm sorry. I used the word commitment and I used the word covenant almost the same. So why that seems that way is because it is a commitment, but it's a sacred one. I want you to take my time. God is getting ready to bless somebody. He about to take you someplace you've never been before. He said, but you got to take your commitment to another level. It has to be a sacred commitment, which means what? It's binding. The only way you know that is sacred is it has to be tested, Peter, three times. Amen. And I hear y'all, every time you're in your business or your marriage or something, every single time you're in that and it don't go the way you go, you use that commitment language. I'm out. I'm out. You in that business. I'm out. It ain't going the way I want. I'm out. I'm done. I can't take no more. I'm through. I'm finished. That's why you ain't blew up, because you got finished in you. You got quit in you. You got I'm done in you. You have created your own failure. You talking to a God that don't understand that language. He ain't never quit nothing. He ain't never gave up on nothing. So I want to help you. The difference between commitment and covenant. Covenant is a commitment, but it's a sacred commitment. It means you can't get out of it once you get in it. That's why when we was going up in Chicago, bro, it was a gang. Gangs of disciples, folks, it was real. You got in the gang, it's only one way out. That's your life. They weren't playing. You get in, think about it, because once you get in, it's sacred. They got you. Anything they need, them boys, whatever they need you to, they take anybody out, they do anything for you. But once you say you wanted out, you couldn't get out. Why? You knew too much. Yummy Sandifer, look him up. Lil Yummy, 11 years old, shot 6-7 times in the back of the head, execution style. He made Time Magazine. Why? Because they thought, because he knew something, he was going to tell. And they was like, oh, we got to take you out. It's a part of our belief system. If we think you're going to rat, we got to take you out. And most of y'all don't get it. Your next level is when you stop quitting and giving up. Now, we're not talking about abuse now. We're not talking about letting nobody abuse you. We're not talking about that. We're talking about in a mutual relationship, that it has to, you guys have to get to a point where it's binding. It is a binding commitment. Because once you learn how to quit, it becomes natural. And you don't really get it. It is your quitting that messed it up. Let's go to the next one. Devotion and loyalty. Watch this. Individuals who make a binding commitment in their spiritual covenant typically express their devotion and loyalty to their chosen spiritual path, deity, or divine entity. This devotion is often accompanied by a deep sense of reverence and respect. So when people say, bruh, you be talking about Diddy like, bruh, I ain't no good human, bruh. At the end of the day, when somebody's done for you what Diddy's done for me, you got to revere that person. You got to respect that person. And when I was young, that's what messed my relationship up in the first place, Pastor. Me going places and act like, yo, that Peter boy, I wish I'd have got that when I was young. When I was young and dating, and then when I was young and I got married, I would be with Diddy, but at a distance. I was on that distance boy. Like, yo, that's my, of course I love Diddy. I don't want to be with nobody else. But I'm out, you know what I'm saying? I'm with her, but I don't want to mess up what? This all you got. You don't have nothing else. There's no other life. There's no other path. There's no other nothing. And I remember, Pastor, when everything changed. I remember when I went through my phone book and was like, yep, I got to get rid of everybody. I wish I would have had me in my life when I was young. I'm just saying, y'all playing. Most of us, we know the men in our lives who taught us how to treat women. We know what they taught us. They didn't teach us this. We didn't grow up seeing this. Our uncles weren't doing this. The men in our lives weren't doing this. They weren't making no commitment to one person. This wasn't something we was taught in middle school, elementary school, high school. We weren't taught this stuff. Now, if you had one person in your life, praise God, I ain't had none. I didn't have nobody in my life say, bro, when you get married, everybody got to go. I actually had cats saying, oh, you got that ball and chain. When I did, Pastor, try to go in that direction, cats would be like, oh, you got that ball and chain. Oh, you just gave up your whole life. Oh, you just gave, here's the famous one, fellas. Here go the famous one. You just gave up your player's card. I'm just being real. Wasn't nobody saying covenant, devotion, loyalty, revere, respect. And so most of you are not where you want to be, because the thing you should be loyal to the thing you should be committed to, sacredly committed to, you don't have a deep sense of reverence or respect for. You've gotten comfortable with it now. Some stuff God put in your life, you didn't got comfortable with it. It's common to you now. That's what's messing you up. It's common. You talk to. I don't care what me and my mom been through, Pastor. I still revere my mom. She was 17 years old, bro. She could have gotten an abortion. I still revere my mom. I do not look at my mom like, oh, why you lie to me? That was the kid, the grown man in me going, oh, okay, I see exactly why you thought you needed to do this. I praise God. You could have done the opposite and had me in a drug house. You could have been a substance abuser. You decided to try to, you know what I'm saying, the lie you told, Pastor, was to try to act like we was the Huxtables. Praise God. If you're going to lie, that's the best lie. You know what I'm saying? Let's go Huxtable route. Let's get a family. You know what I'm saying? She didn't infuse me into a family. Let's go to school. Let's have a father who got a job, who going to work every day. You can't do nothing but respect. Even though Pastor may not have been, you know, whatever, but you got to respect that. You got to revere. So when mom called me and say she need this and she need that, I stop dropping roll. I see how some of y'all talk to your mom, and you think just because she didn't do what she's supposed to do, you got the right to talk to her like that. You think just because your boss didn't do, you ain't had no problems with your boss the last 10 years when he was paying your bills, but when he switched up and said we're going in a different direction, now you want to disrespect the person that respected you for 10 years. Some of us, you don't have no reverence, you don't have no respect. You don't move like Paul moved. Paul said, though he slayed me. Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul, why are you going to Rome? They're going to kill you. He's like, so what? I don't care. As long as I get to get over there and talk about my God, you can do whatever you want to do to him. You can put me in chains. You can try to kill me. But as soon as I finish, I'm going to still pray. Matter of fact, Pastor, in the midst of y'all whipping my butt to death almost, in the midst of y'all putting these chains in the midst of me going to jail, I got respect for God. If this is how he wants my life to be, respect. As soon as God don't want you, you do with some God, why you do that? Why you disrespectful to God. Now you ain't coming to church. Keep that same energy you had when he was doing what you thought he should do. You done switched up now. You don't pay tithes no more. You not giving your gift to the church no more. You not hurting God. And you darn Skippy ain't hurting the church. God will move on without you. You're not about to stop God's plans. But you about to stop your blessings and you about to stop your baby's blessings. Revere him and respect him under every circumstance. That's old school, I'm sorry, when we was getting whippings. No, that's why we respected our grandma. That's why. Because we was getting disciplined. You knew what she was capable of. Pastor, I was about 13 years old. Me and my homies had hooked up with these girls. You know, we just met them at the mall. And so we was going to the crib. I was going to have them come to my house. We had just met them. I was going to have them come to the crib. I wanted them to see how we was living. And so we walked to the crib. And I knocked on the door, and my mom came to the door. I was like, what's up? They're about to come in. And my mom was like, what? I was like, mom, they're about to come in the crib. Pastor, on life, I'm in the church. I got off the ground about 2 minutes later. Pastor, you know my mom's short, but she had brothers and she grew up with 14 of them, and they grew up on the south side of Chicago. Pastor, I didn't even know that this part of my body existed. She went straight for the win, Pastor. Pastor, she didn't hit me in my face. It wasn't no brawl. She was like trained skill. Pastor, she went boom. With the knuckle boy, boom, right here, boom. I woke up, the girls were still there. I was like, this is the worst day of my life. For real, worst day of my life. My little friends, it was the worst day of my life, but it was the best day of my mother's life because that was the day I realized, no matter how manly I thought I was, that was the day mom said to me, you got it twisted. Now, Pastor, I'm just going to be real. I believe... 3 years later at 16, I believed that I could take her. I do. I'm not going to lie. When I hit 16, I was like, yo, I bet you I got her now. But pastor, that incident was registered like a driver's license. That joker was registered, and something inside of me said, there's a probability though you can't. And if you don't want to get embarrassed again, I'm telling y'all right now, you have lost reverence for people you once had reverence for. You've lost reverence for the thing you once revered before. And God is saying, covenant, you don't lose it in covenant. You don't get scared in covenant. Paul wasn't scared of nobody. Job had covenant. Job told his wife, "You fool, if you don't sit down somewhere, though he slay me, he took our kids, he took our stuff, I still." Let's go to the next one. I want to show y'all something. This is supposed to be a wedding picture. It's supposed to be a wedding picture. It's supposed to be a wedding picture. This is commitment, y'all. And again, there's nothing wrong with it. We on earth. Earthly stuff going to happen. I'm just telling you, do me a favor. Don't let your earthly stuff replace godly stuff. So like when you do earthly stuff, just say it's earthly. But don't try to switch it and make it godly now. So it's like when I used to get food stamps. I used to get 200 for 100, pastor. Pastor, there was never a part of my life when I get him 100 and they give me $200 food stamps. There was never a part of my existence that said this is right. I never went to the Bible and tried to justify it. I always knew this something ain't right with this because they didn't give me the food stamps. And there's a reason why they didn't give them to me. And there was a reason why I wasn't supposed to be buying them. Huh? I'm just saying, I grew up in that culture, pastor. You want a radio? You don't go to Best Buy? Who does that? You go to Sweet Lenny because he got plenty. That's real. So I'm going, hey, bro, I need a VCR. What you got, E? I got 50. All right, I'm going to get you one of them $100 boys. It was always half. I never got a VCR in my crib and try to go to the Ten Commandments and make it fit. No, you laughing, but some of y'all doing dirt and you trying to make it spiritual. You trying to make it okay what you're doing. And I'm telling you, it's okay to sin. It's not okay to try to make what you're doing okay. Because the longer you lie to yourself, I'm not telling you we're not going to sin. I'm just saying don't try to justify it when it's sin because it's your mama. It's still sin. If it's your son, it's still sin. If it's your daddy, it's still sin. And if you don't believe me, ask Eli, who was a man of God and didn't do nothing wrong, but he wouldn't check his boys for doing. He wouldn't say nothing to his sons. No. You mean to tell me you died and you ain't even do nothing wrong? That you were a man of God, you were a high priest, but you let your sons come into church and act a fool? Listen to me, I'm not trying to be funny, y'all. Back in the day, it wasn't no drinking, playing, running in the church. Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. You know why it is now? Because grown people let their kids do it. You know why it wasn't back in the day? Because they didn't let their kids do it. It's not rocket science. You talking about the Miss Deacon. It don't got nothing to do with her. It was, you listen to me, nobody had to check me when I went somewhere in public. As defiant as I was, all the stories you hear about me, you can say, all of them are true, but never when I was with my father, never when I was my mother. I was always the kid. Yes, sir. Pastor, I was saying yes, sir, back in the day. Yes, ma'am. I always went in the building and had respect. Why? Because I knew I represented my parents. Now, when I was on the block, I acted a fool. Why? Because I knew the person who would discipline me wasn't on the block, and he couldn't check me for what I was doing. But let it be known, if I knew my father knew about it, it was only when I was homeless I started acting a fool. I was what you said. I wasn't acting a fool, pastor, when I was growing up in the crib. I never talked back to my father. Popeye the Sailor Man, that's real. No, that's real. I told my man once, like, what's up, bro? I'm supposed to be off punishment. Bah! My head hit the, y'all don't know, if y'all ain't from the Midwest, every house had bars. Every house had bars. It's back in the day. My man hit me on the side of my face, and my head hit the, and I hit the ground, and I woke up, and I literally saw stars. I'm not saying we should be doing that in 2023, but I'm saying a lot of these kids ain't got respect because they ain't being dealt with. I'm just saying, they don't got no respect because they not being, it's no consequences. There's no consequences. Stuff that we're doing, there's no consequences for the stuff. It wasn't that we were more moral back in the day. It was more consequences, Pastor. It wasn't more moral. And it wasn't consequences from the prison. Our grandmothers was running the block. My grandma ran the block on Herman Garden. On her block, she ran the block. She wasn't scared of no drug dealer. She wasn't scared of no gang. She ran the block. She had her gun. She ran the block. Them boys had respect back in the day. They did not come in church and shoot nobody up. They did not touch a pastor's car. There is absolutely no code of ethics anymore. None. They didn't rob Pastor Winans. Bruh, an icon that made a man of God take his pants off? Bruh, back in our day, the top drug dealer would whip your butt for doing some foolishness like that. There are no laws anymore. We're in a lawless society. People can do what they want to do when they want to do. Why? Because we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Man, I wish my grandma cared about feelings. So this is what, when the pastors marry you, this is why I like, for real, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, I don't really do marriage like this no more. Because I still think it's sacred. And I don't think people be really taking it that way. Watch this. Listen to what I wrote down here. This is important. It said, this is what the Bible said. To death do us part. Here's the new meaning. To the death of our commitment. I'm just being real. It ain't sacred no more. Just look on, every day somebody getting a divorce. It don't mean to death do us part. That's what he said, Pastor, to death do us part. And I'm like, yo, so why is it so much divorce? Because it just means to the death of our commitment. We ain't committed to each other no more. And I can't judge. It might be a good reason. I don't know. Which is why I think we need to be careful of people who we just marrying. We need to take it, it's sacred. We should take it serious. It don't mean it's going to be perfect, but it's like, come on, now we didn't switch the whole thing around. I saw a wedding the other day, Pastor. They dancing. They got like some secular music. They all dancing down the aisles like, yo, what? Do that outside. Why y'all doing that in the church? Y'all got other places y'all could be doing that. They burying people in the church. They standing up. They got drinks in their hand. They got chains on. I'm saying, what are y'all doing in the church? There was a time, Pastor, bodies wasn't even, according to the word of God, the Israelites didn't even touch dead bodies. Now they turning them to club scenes. Just saying, y'all, we got to get back to covenant. Let's go. I want to show y'all this next one. I'm sorry. Let's race through these. Let's go. Let's race through these. Guiding principles. I want to show y'all this. These covenant guides individuals' behavior and choices. This is why we need covenant principles. Because your feelings don't get to guide you. Right? Your feelings don't get to guide you. I'm telling you, every time, y'all heard me say this before, every time I have a disagreement with Dee Dee, and I'm just like, man, she ain't getting it. Pastor, there's a part of me that wants to go, oh, I can't believe she. But then the principles that guide me, Jamie, say, this was the person that took care of you when you was homeless, when your mama didn't have nothing to do with you, son. This was the person that gave you her allowance, son. This was the person that poured into you before you had anything to pour back. Careful how you think about her. Careful. You running your mouth. You letting your emotions. Careful, son, how you talk to my daughter. This is the person I brought in your life to change your life all around. Careful. I know you mad. But your feelings and your mouth don't guide you. Principles guide you. Follow the principle. And Dee Dee the kind of like, she'll say something to you. You know, really, she knows she cut you and be like, can you go give me some water? I'm like, what? Water? You're not addressing the cut. When did he be talking about? I'm bleeding. I don't care what you are. Like, I'm hungry. Can you go to the store and give me some chips? The God in print, these covenant, get covenant, and then let the covenant guide your behavior and your choices, helping them align their life with the spiritual beliefs and values you say you have. You can't have values and switch up because you're mad. Then they weren't really values. Now, let me just say this before we get out of here, because I'm going to show y'all what covenant looked like, and then we're going to go. Here's what I'm starting to realize, Rodney. Here's what I'm starting to realize. I got to make adjustments in my relationships because I was doing something wrong. Here's what I realized. As I go into 2024 and I fix my relationships, Here's what I realized what covenant means, Rodney. When I'm in covenant relationship with you, it means you, all my resources that God is saying I can share with you, Rodney, they're yours. All the time that I have, like this is how I look at relationships. This is how I see it, bro. I see me and Bob, bro. Bob got me to Oakwood. Bob brought me to the church. Bob, when would I, without Bob, I wouldn't have met Dee Dee. Like Bob was the one that changed my life, bro. And what made me and Bob so dope is like when me and Bob would hang out, Bob was like, yo, he don't drink and he don't smoke and he don't do that. So like, leave him alone. Like, don't try to force, you know the block, bro. Ain't nobody tripping on if you sell dope or not. If you out here, you sell dope. If you out here, you carry a gun. Like, this is what we do. Bob was like, he don't do that, bro. Like, Bob would stand up. Bro, chill. Like, he ain't on that. He going to Oakwood. He getting, he's staying for his GD right now. He in a committed relationship, bro. Don't, tell her to get out of here. We ain't on that. Here, that's how I started, Rodney. That's how I started. That's what me and B did. So now what happens is I'm still doing that, right? And so there are people who, all my resources are theirs. You got my whip, you got my money, you got whatever I got, my influence. Here's what I realized. Most people are not in covenant because I'm all about you and you all about you. That's when it don't work. I realize that's the problem. It's not, I'm not doing it wrong. I used to be like, you do something wrong. Diddy used to be like, you too nice. I'm not too nice. It's just that all my stuff is yours, but all your stuff is yours. That ain't covenant. I can't win like that. I can't win when all my stuff is for you and all your stuff is for you. I can't win like that. I can't never win. I'm never going to be blessed because all your stuff is your stuff and all my stuff is your stuff. I can't never win. It's not designed for me to win. Your philosophy is not designed for me to win. It's only designed for you to win. You just coming into the ecosystem to take what I got because you can't produce on your own and then you ain't got enough sense to make it mutual. And then when I cut you off, I'm the problem. My stuff, Bob's stuff was my stuff, bruh. On life, bruh. Bob's stuff was my stuff. My stuff was Bob's stuff. To this day, you can't say nothing about Bob. To this day, I went to Barnes & Noble to see my boy. My wife was like, yo, you going to Barnes & Noble to see Bob? Like, he worked. I said, I don't care what he doing, and I don't care how he act when I get there. That's my dog. I wouldn't be where I am without him. And I don't know what he think about me, and I don't care what he think about me. That's my dog. I would not be here without him, because everything he had, he showed me was mine. And then when I went to Oakwood, I came and got my dog. He was still out in the streets. And I came and got my dog and I brought my dog to Huntsville. And we had a conversation. Because I was like, bro, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You do, bro, what can I? He's like, E, bro, don't ever get it twisted. You know where we were. You got me here, E. You saved me, E. You don't owe me nothing else. I might not be doing what you're doing. But for me and where I came from, E, you did what you were supposed to do, bro. You came back and got your boy. I'm telling you, a lot of y'all on commitment. You on commitment. You as long as it's the person doing what you want them to do, you cool with them. As soon as they not, you putting dirt on their name. Because they ain't doing what you want them to do. But when they was doing what you want them to do, it wasn't no problems. That's commitment. And you're not going to go real far in that. Covenant is when God said, for God so loved the world, I don't care what they do, I'm going to die on the cross. I don't care what they do. I don't care how they act. I don't care if they do what I tell them to do. Don't tell them, do what I tell them to do. All my resources belong to them. All they got to do is pray. If my people, which are called by my name, they just need to humble themselves. I don't care what they did before. Jerusalem, your sins have been forgiven. I want to show y'all what covenant looks like real quick. Let's run through it. I'm going to get y'all out of here. I want to help somebody. This is what covenant looked like. This covenant. I just want y'all to be familiar with it. I want you to know either you covenant or you not. And don't play with it. If you're not, it's okay. You need to get there. This covenant. More importantly, let's look at the next one. This covenant. This covenant. This covenant. I lost my man. Just being real, I say this all the time. When you marry Martin Luther King, who you about to date now? Who you about to marry when this was your husband? You lost. Game over. You the sacrificial lamb. You're not about to get with nobody else that's going to mirror what he did. Don't nobody care about people like that, that they're willing to lose their own life, give up their wife, give up their kids. Now they don't know what's going to happen to their wife or their kids so that we can have our freedoms. Ain't nobody doing that now. Ain't nobody on this kind of stuff no more. And the devil got us in commitment. You lose, bruh. You lose. Commitment is Satan's counterfeit for covenant. It's his counterfeit. He always got a counterfeit for God's stuff. It's a counterfeit. And once you start living commitment, because it's about you, you already lost. You ain't going to be able to blow up like that. Told you, TJ, I ain't no CJ fan. I don't know who CJ is. I ain't grew up in Lansing. Told you what made CJ CJ. He said, I'm going to make you a household name. And he never asked me for 50 cents when I did it. He never said, you owe me 20% once I blow you up. All my speaking money go to me. He ain't never asked for nothing. He said, being connected to you was enough. I'm going to figure out how to make my own money, and I'm going to figure out how to make money together. Then he said, after he did that, I'm going to make you a billionaire. Oh, you favor TJ? I don't favor CJ. I favor the person who is mutual. Ain't no favoritism. I favor the person that who's making sure my family eating. Ain't no favoritism. I favor the person that's got real estate property, so when I die, Diddy them still get a check. I ain't no favoritism. I don't like Jamal no more. I don't know Jamal, but I love the person who's making me just as much as a priority as I'm making them. Because 95% of the relationships, it don't work like that. I just want y'all to see what commitment is. Irrevocable, unalterable. I want you to see what this means. It means they pledge to follow a certain principle and live by specific moral and ethical standards without wavering. Yeah, you good as long as you're on the front end of it, as long as you benefit. Once you stop benefiting, you're not down with it no more. And do me a favor. You don't got to be mad. Don't think test. There's nothing wrong with taking a test. But once the test is taken, just be real about your answers. These people are how I love the life. I got to let them go. You proved to me that you're not for me. Under the test, you proved that you weren't for me. You was for you. That's not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with that. You can't be for everybody, but you just proved to me you're not for me. If I die, I can't trust you going to do nothing for Dee Dee and Jalen and Jada. So I can't keep you that close because all you're going to do is take all my stuff. And you're not even going to take the stuff that I bless you with and give it back to the person. It's a standard without wavering or changing their commitment. You switching up. Whenever it don't go your way, you switching up. It's an indicant that you're not covenant. Fix it. I'm going to show you the last one. I'm going to let you get out of here. I'm going to show you the last one. A covenant. Y'all hear me talk about her a lot, but perhaps you don't really know who she is. This is covenant. This covenant. This is, you get your freedom and it's not enough. It's not enough. Why? Because you weren't getting your freedom for you in the first place. You were getting your freedom because that's what God told you to do. Now you're ready to do whatever God told you to do. So watch what he told her to do. He told her to take 19 trips. She took 19 trips, y'all. 19 trips. After her freedom, she took 19 trips. A portion of those trips were 125 miles each way. That was when she went to Philly. So she would come back, covenant. Pastor, covenant. They got her name all over the city. Killer, wanted, dead or alive. It's a bounty on her head for this much, alive this much if you kill her. But we would prefer you keep her alive so we can torture her and teach her a lesson. I'm just being real. If I take 19 trips to save somebody, it ain't going to be where they got a bounty on my head. Covenant. She get free. I don't know if she get to take a month rest. I'm talking to somebody. You keep saying, I don't know how you do that. How you got the energy for that? I don't have a choice. I'm in covenant. I don't get to decide my time. He does. I don't get to decide when I use my gift. He does. It ain't a choice. We in covenant. When you in covenant, you don't get your way. You get his way. And whatever the remainder is, he'll give it to you. He wants you to be happy, you'll be happy. If he wants your wife to have MS, she'll get MS. If he wants your child to go through where he go, whatever he wants, that's what you take. And when you're in covenant, whatever state you find yourself in. Somebody said to me the other day, every time I say something to you, how you doing? You always say blessed. You got that on repeat. I do. I am blessed. I didn't say I like everything that he does, but I like everything he does because I like him. Okay. 19 trips, 250 miles, both ways. She freed 300. Then after that, Philly said no more. So then she took them jokers to Canada, which is a 695-mile walk. I didn't say Uber. I didn't say Uber Black. I didn't say a cab. I didn't say bicycle or motorbike. She came back 19 times, and she walked about 18 to 20 Negroes, 695 miles to Canada. And because she was in covenant, there's something magical that happens in covenant. It means that it's not you by yourself doing it to pay bills. It means you're doing it with the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when you're doing it with the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, you free 300 people. Nobody even see when you came and got them. That's covenant. The angels say, you ready to get up? Let's go. Come on, let's go get these people. And then what I love about it is she took a shotgun with her. She said, anybody that come with me and you're not in covenant, I'm going to kill you. Anybody open up their mouth, anybody say anything contrary to what I'm saying, I'm going to take your life. Why? Because you've never been free, so you can't tell me how to get freedom. Some of your opinions are killing you. You ain't never been successful at nothing you've done, and you still got an opinion about how stuff's supposed to be done. You ain't never had one thing you've done that blew up. You got an opinion about stuff. You have never had one trip of freedom. She said, I'm taking a shotgun. Any one of you jokers open up your mouth and say how this is supposed to be done, I'm shooting you dead because you don't know. Shut up and just come get your freedom. Once you get to Philly, you can do whatever you want to do. Once you get to Canada, you're on your own. I'm not trying to dictate your life. I'm just trying to dictate your freedom. And even in the body of Christ, you got folks fighting to tell folk how you're going to be. You ain't never been free in nothing. You ain't never figured nothing out on your own, ever. But you got a huge opinion about, we just trying to free you here. Once you get your freedom and get on your feet, you can do whatever you want to do. Stop fighting. So I leave you with this. I wish I had the picture. I don't know, Pastor. It could have been 2020. I don't remember. The Last Dance, Michael Jordan. Mike cried. I had never seen Mike cry before. Michael Jordan cried. I'd never seen that before. He said, cut the camera off. Do not let them see me crying. This is my appeal. Pastor, I had to go back to it. I'm like, yo, I missed that whole thing. Mike cried. What was Mike crying for? Mike said, some people call me a tyrant. Some people said I was mean. Mike said, I just wanted to win. This is the part where he cried, Pastor, and I got it. He cried because he said, if you don't want to play like that, you don't got to play like that. Meaning, why are you on my team if you don't want to do it the way I'm telling you to do it so we can win these championships? You're a pro. Go somewhere else with that. Pastor, he was saying you got 31 other teams. Why you want to be on the Bulls? You know why? Because we're going to win. But you can't come to my team telling me how to play the game. Scotty, you do what I tell you to do. Rodman, you do what I tell you to do, and we're going to win a championship, and everybody going to get a check, and everybody going to get a ring. I said, why is Mike crying? He was crying because he was saying, why are we even going through this? If you don't want to be here, why are you here? Why are you showing up to practice crying? Why are you whining? It's 31 other teams. Go somewhere else and compete against me. You don't got to play with me, but you playing and whining. You playing and crying. Come to practice. Let's play ball the way I play ball. And we're going to win 6 championships. And we all going to go down as the greatest that ever. Guys, why are you fighting God? You're not winning your way. Why are you fighting God? Why are you mad because God is saying this is the way we got to do it? If he say this the way we got to do it, and he's promising you that he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that shall not be room to see, why are you fighting God? Why are you still in your, why is it taking you so long to grow when you know that area of your life stinks and you still playing with it? How long is it going to take you? Sometimes I wish life was a game of basketball or soccer. You don't get to play soccer as long as you want to. 90 minutes. You don't get to play forever. And so I'm done. I'm done. Listen to me. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke anybody that's listening right now. I rebuke you who are listening saying you got an attitude. I actually don't have an attitude. I just know what it takes to win, and that stuff you're doing ain't going to get us there. I'm actually offended that you think you can keep doing that and think you think you can keep going back and forth and you're going to go forward. No, this is the appeal. Hear what I'm saying? You keep going back and forth and back and forth, and some kind of way you think you're going to go forward, going backwards and forwards. You keep making the same decisions. You keep going back to the same personality. You keep going back to the same character. You keep doing exactly what you're doing. I'm mad at you that you think you can keep doing that. So here's what I'm asking you to do for me if you want me to speak soft. Just change your desires. Just change your dreams. Just don't want nothing. Stop saying you want a better marriage or a better life or better. Stop saying that. No, you don't. You want to win the championship your way. And your way has never gotten you a championship. When are you just going to humble yourself? Your way is not winning. I just told you, you know how many jobs you had? Like, if you really put it on one hand, I get offended when people go, God has forsaken me. How? You had 6 jobs. How is he forsaking you? You forsaking you. There's something that you're doing that you ain't changing. You ain't got no problem getting a man. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You getting men. Something you doing or something that you're not doing that's putting you in a position to have to keep. You can't be going around talking, I just can't seem to pick a good man. That's not possible. If you are a good, if you make the adjustments you need. I'm just saying. I'm trying. I had a catering business the other day. I called somebody, hey, I need you to. I'm trying to take my mastermind to the next level. F, I didn't even know you was that dope. Moose was like, he dope. I'm like, let's go. But I ain't trying to hire F because he's sitting in the front row of the church. I'm trying to win. And I heard he winning. I heard everybody on our squad that had ever come through, he the closer. I'm like, let's find an opportunity for the closer. Why are we wasting the closer? Let's can we reason together? You just won't though. You ain't bringing nothing to the table. You bringing mess. You bringing drama. You bringing confusion. You got folks on plant. You splitting the team. You running your mouth. You spitting dirt. I know you think you spitting it in secret, but it's come to the light. You spitting dirt on the very thing that's a blessing to you. Stop it. I was about to say, if you think I'm coming, but I can't. This is church. I'm sorry. But just stop it. Stop. Stop going backwards or doing stuff that's not principle, that's not covenant, and thinking you're about to get the results of covenant people. Stop. So if you know, like, I'm Peter, I'm at a distance. But I want the blessing of Jesus from a distance. I want to say, I don't know who he is, but I want the blessings of saying I know who he is. If you're ready to stop this yo-yo thing you're doing, and you're ready to move forward in Christ, you're ready to finally become covenant so you can get in covenant relationships and see where all those blessings come from. It's that people are yoked together. You've never been yoked with nobody but yourself. And fortunately, you can't yoke yourself. And some of you are afraid to put your head in there with somebody else and close that sucker and get on one accord with that person. But you're saying, God, I've been doing it by myself. I've been doing it alone. I've been going back and forth with you. but I'm ready to really go deep and really deal with some deep, dark stuff. And I'm ready to finally do it together with you. If I can't do no human right now, I can at least do you. If that's you and you're ready to do covenant, you know what inconsistency is. You know what consistency is. You know what committed is. But you're ready to go to the highest level. You're ready to go to covenant, where it's not just about you, but it's about us. But you're like, God, I don't know that. I didn't grow up in that. I don't understand that. But I want to know that. If that's you, you're standing right now. Wherever you are at home, you're standing right now. We're going to close. Wherever you are, you're standing right now. I want covenant. Hallelujah. I want covenant. Hallelujah. Can I get a mic? 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 I want covenant. I want covenant. I want to stop, you know, being self-centered. And I want to stop it just about me. I want it to be about us, God. Us. What do you want me to do? How do I help with the brotherhood? How do I take ownership and responsibility, Lord? I want to be in covenant. Jesus was in covenant. Nevertheless, not my will, let thy will be done. I want you ready to be in covenant. You ready to be in covenant. Amen. Praise God. You can take time to ask Dee to close us out in prayer. Dee, help. You ready for covenant? You ready for covenant? You ready for covenant? Amen. You ready for covenant? Whenever you're ready, Dee. You're ready for covenant.
Dear Most Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We just thank you for being God of our lives, Father God. We just ask that you would help us, that we would be in covenant with you, not for ourselves or the things that we may get, but Father, because we just need to better our relationship with you. For kingdom reason, for kingdom stewardship, Father. Forgive us for all the people that we have wronged, all the things that were not of you, but we continue to do, Father. We just ask for your covering, for your blessings, and help us just not to live lawless anymore, Father. We want your love, Father God. We want your kingdom to grow. Let that be our main focus. Help us to continue to make the main thing, and not get distracted, Father God, by what people are saying or doing. So we just ask, Father, that as we start next week, that you would cover us, Father God, that you would help us, that we would be in covenant with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. For those who've expressed an interest in supporting our ministry, please use our Cash App. If you prefer more traditional options, please visit our website at www.apocministry.org, where you can make your donation via PayPal, credit card, or certified check or money order. We look forward to seeing all of you for our midweek service Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Pastor T.J. Tyus. On behalf of our pastors and their families and your APOC family, we wish you all a very blessed week.